Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hello and welcome to this matchday episode of Pod on the Time. My name's Taylor Payne and Newcastle are back at St James's Park today against Brentford. Eddie Howe's men will be looking for a lift after the defeat in the Carabao Cup semi-final. George and Chris are at St James's Park today. Let's get into the action.
Benzema. Just got the touch to give Newcastle the uplift they needed. Ouattara trying to force Trippier onto the back foot, swerves it in, and it's an equaliser. Vitaly Janelt, who gets on the end of it, as Brentford show their character again. And he's still got it. Ouattara pulls it across, and an opportunity here which isn't taken, but it is a penalty. Thiago strokes it in so coolly, and Brentford have turned it around before half time. Now the break really is on for Newcastle. Asula emerging with it. Can he find Guimaraes? No, he's looked the other way. Elanga drives one in, and Guimaraes has gone down and looks in some pain as well.
Might be a slight clash of legs there, a little trip.
After review, there is a careless trip by the blue 33. Our final decision is penalty kick.
Guimaraes marks his return with a goal from the spot. Newcastle's talisman draws them level in a game they were in danger of losing. Opening here for Ouattara to strike, and he's got it through Nick Pope and put Brentford back in front. And a game that seemed to be drifting away from them is back in their own hands.
Right, George, well, I am walking through the centre of Halifax.
Why? What are you doing in Halifax?
We've been to Eureka, which is I went very squeaky and sort of high there.
You did.
Well, that's a children's museum. I'm this is not going well.
This could be the best podcast. This could be the best matchday. That's the first time I've smiled for about 5 hours.
Yeah, oh, so went to a children's museum, and then I've been out for dinner and had a couple of beers and watched the game. The first half of the game I did watch on my phone because everyone wanted the rugby on, but then we did get it for the second half. But it wasn't great viewing either way, but I imagine it was even worse for you and inside the ground.
It wasn't good. No, it was one of those days where the rain was slanting in horizontally. So it, very small violin for the people listening, but it means that everything gets wet. Your laptop gets wet. And yes, definitely a damp squib in terms of Newcastle, a game that they really had to win. And of course, not only have they not won it, they've lost it. Pretty bleak. Boos at halftime, boos at the end. And an incredibly downcast Eddie Howe afterwards, taking full responsibility for it, but not what was needed after the Carabao Cup final. And that's the end of Pod on the Time match day for today. So thank you for listening. And you just go back to the pub, Chris, and maybe I'll go to the pub as well.
We could all do being at the pub. I mean, that's interesting that you say about Eddie Howe taking full responsibility. In what context? What exactly, before we even get into the ins and outs of the match, what is it that he said about that game?
So obviously not what we want. It is hard, but I don't blame the supporters for expressing their feelings. I think we've created that ourselves to a point with a run of games where we haven't played as well as we can, we've defended poorly and we've got punished, and there's no other thing to do than accept responsibility for it. Yeah, there's a harsh reality for me. I think I've got to think long and hard about not my effort, because my efforts, I can't question that of myself, but I think I've got to work better. I've got to do more. I've got to take full responsibility for everything you see on the pitch, and I've got to work out solutions. So I think that's for me to do, and then of course I have to ask the same from the players. I have to ask them to be really honest with themselves and look at their best level and judge how they're playing against that now in this current moment. And I don't think there's too many that can say that they're playing towards their best. So I think that then gives us growth to improve.
So it was very strong from him, not attempting to mask the disappointment of this match, but also Newcastle's form at the minute. And, you know, it's like, I don't say this lightly, because we all remember Newcastle in really bad moments and really bad times, but it does feel like the season is in danger of unravelling. Now, obviously, that has context because, you know, up until the middle of last week, they were fighting on four competitions. They've just had this extraordinary run of games against Man City, Liverpool, Villa, PSG, etc. But they've also conceded 13 goals in five games, and they've now got another four away games in a row. So it does feel like a big, big moment for the team. And, you know, I'm sick of talking about needing responses and things like that, but, you know, the way Howe was talking, it is a proper, proper big moment, I think.
Yeah, and that's an interesting context, the fact that so Newcastle went in this game and Howe makes the changes beforehand. It was, I think there was slight surprises in the team news, or at least from my perspective. Bruno Guimarães is back, that was not a surprise. He was desperately required. Four games he'd missed in all competitions, and Newcastle desperately struggle without him in the side, so to bring him back, I always felt that if Man City had been slightly closer after the first leg, there was even a chance he may have played in that game, whereas not risk him, bring him back for the home match. But when the team came out, well, what was your thoughts on that? I mean, Dan Byrne wasn't in the 11. I was surprised, not necessarily because he's come back and played a lot of games, and maybe you could even argue struggled in midweek, but the physicality, the height that Brentford would offer from set pieces and the like, I thought that he'd want someone like Dan Byrne in the side, particularly with no Joe Linton. But Dan Byrne was left out. Trippier continued to right back, having had struggles recently. What was your sort of reaction to the team when it came out?
I have to be honest, Chris, there have just been so many teams that it's like I'm punch drunk with matches and I'm punch drunk with team sheets. Not that that's kind of possible. I mean, yeah, I suppose I felt like with Byrne, I suppose the fear is that you can overload somebody who's been out with a pretty serious injury for a while. You know, Trippier, Trippier had a really bad game against Brentford, but there are just so few options on that side of defence at the moment. You know, unless you do something sort of quite substantive and move Malik Chow, for example. But you know, he's played well at centre half, and so that seems like shuffling for the sake of it. So I mean, I wasn't, you know, Alanga. Could that have been a game that Alanga started after his flashes? Yeah, perhaps, but you know, at this point in the cycle, you need a response to what happened in midweek. That would be the idea, and you've just got to freshen up at this point. There's another game against Spurs on Tuesday, so I mean, I didn't feel sort of hugely surprised. I mean, you know, you talked about Bruno coming back. At one point, you're thinking that was absolutely the demonstration of who he is and what he is and what he means to the team. He plays that, you know, that brilliant, brilliant corner in that Botman scores from, and his set pieces were causing huge problems, you know, particularly with those corners. It's like, okay, great, that's another involvement for him. You've probably got the stats at hand, but I think what is it, 10 goal involvements, I think, 11 actually with his penalty now,
11, yeah.
At home. And then, of course, there's the penalty itself that he wins. He gets kind of bundled over, gets stripped over, and then he takes the penalty. And it's like, well, that's what Newcastle needed. They needed that sort of captain's performance to drag them back into the game. And that is that's the double whammy of this match, isn't it? It's not just that they took the lead and then conceded goals, then go behind. It's that they got themselves back into the game and then let it slip. So they let it slip twice.
I mean, the start, you mentioned Botman puts them ahead. They said on TV commentary that was a game to run a play. I think that's slightly stretching it. Newcastle didn't start well, and arguably Brentford could have had a penalty inside 90 seconds when Trippier pulls back. It's the wing back as he gets through and in on goal. Lewis Potter, and he definitely did pull him back. When he lost control of the ball is another matter, but then maybe he's got a weird one there, Newcastle. I thought, strangely, in a weird sense, in the game tonight, Thiago was actually kept quite quiet, yet at the same time, Newcastle never really got control of the game. It always felt like whenever Brentford attacked, something may come of it. But then Newcastle do take the lead from that corner, and it was a wonderful ball in from Bruno Guimaraes, and Botman, despite Rico Henry sort of pushing them away from it, manages to just get enough on it to head it in. And Newcastle score from a corner. It's only the second corner that Brentford have conceded from all season. And you hoped, I suppose, more than anything at that point, that would be the thing that would kick Newcastle on. It was almost what they needed, this team, which has been sort of really struggling the last few weeks. A lot of away games. There was a lot of pressure on this match. To get ahead, did that feel like at the point it could be a bit of relief, given that maybe they weren't playing fluid football there? How did it feel inside the ground at that point?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Brentford looked confident. As well they might with how they're playing and how they're doing this season. They looked, they looked very good on the break, on the counter. And you kind of always felt like there was danger there. And that kind of use of the word control, we've used that a lot this season, but it did feel pertinent in this match that, it wasn't that Newcastle didn't sort of have chances or pressure, but it was sort of haphazard. It felt sort of cagey. It didn't feel convincing. The way they were playing didn't feel convincing, and there were kind of mistakes. There were mistakes everywhere. So it felt a bit like that. And yeah, it had gone a bit quiet inside the stadium. Then the goal comes, and it's like loud again. Then there's belief. By the way, I talked about boos at halftime and at the end. There were long and sustained chants of Eddie Howe's Black and White Army throughout, so there's balance to that. But Newcastle are just not making life easy for themselves. Talking about conceding points from winning positions, it's now 19 points that they've dropped. That's a league high. Nobody else has thrown away more points. And of course, at the end, there's another late goal too. That's a familiar story. And All of those things are taking a toll. And again, that story, just to repeat, is a story of Newcastle putting pressure on themselves. They've done it away from home consistently all season by not winning enough, by losing too many games. And then that means that when these home games come around, they're just under massive pressure. And again, like particularly in this ridiculous run of now that they're Champions League draw has been made is one home game in eight, I think it is. And so like they had to win this game. That's how you feel about it. And they've lost.
Newcastle were ahead, never entirely convincing, but then Django Ouattara, who really was deservedly man of the match, gets down the left, and we mentioned that Kieran Trippier had a difficult evening. Ouattara gets away from him, whips a wonderful ball in the box, and Jan Ilt, not marked by anyone, it got between Botman and Rico Henry, and manages to get it was a wonderful cross, but he was completely free, manages to get a header away, equalises, and that sort of was a bit of a sucker punch for Newcastle at that stage before the then penalty, which happens just before half time.
Yeah, massive. And of course, there'd been that good chance for Johan Wisse after Newcastle's goal that Jan Ilt had actually cleared off the line, I think it was. And, that was a big moment too. If Newcastle had gone 2-0 up, it would have been very, very difficult. But again, yeah, of course, it's just a massive sort of momentum shift. It sucks the life out of the stadium. It goes quiet again, goes edgy again. But Brentford not only deserved to be 1-1-1, I think when they took the lead, I think they deserved to be ahead at half-time, basically, just through that perseverance, the confidence they showed, and the coherence they showed as a team. And that coherence was something that Newcastle just lacked.
What about the penalty, though? I mean, I thought that, as harsh as it was, once a referee had given it on the field, Murphy, yes, he hasn't deliberately handled it, but his hand is slightly away from his body. It probably is in a quote-unquote natural position, but the ball is going into the net, and I think it would be difficult for that to be overturned by VAR once a referee had given it. That may be a minority view. I don't know. What was the general reaction to that?
I don't particularly disagree with that. I mean, I think it's, in one way, it's very harsh, because I think Murphy is pulling his hand away, and, you know, the ball hits him. It's not sort of deliberate. He got a yellow card. But as you say, if the hand had not got in the way, it was a certain goal. So that would be how I would view it.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And so then, boos at half-time, as you mentioned earlier, two changes at the break, and Lange and Voldemort come on.
Felt like a big half-time to me. And, yeah, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. And that, I mean, one interesting thing, you talk about the lineup. I should have said this at the start, you know, bearing in mind then who comes on at half-time. I mean, it's like you see four of Newcastle's expensive summer signings on the bench for a home game that they have to win. You know, Alanga's on the bench, Walter Marder's on the bench, Ramsey obviously didn't cost any money, he's on the bench, and then of course Jacob Ramsey's on the bench too, and it's like, you know, that's not a great look, is it, for the club? And then, yeah, Alanga comes on, it's a big moment, taking people off at half time seems to be happening quite regularly. Alanga comes on, Murphy comes off.
Murphy had obviously been booked for the penalty that was given.
Yeah. And had a difficult time. Willock comes off and Walter Marder comes on, and then it's sort of, you know, you've got two nominal forwards on the pitch, although it looked a bit more like a sort of 4-5-1 at that point. I mean, I don't want to be...
Well, 4-2-3-1, I think, would probably be it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, if that's fine. 4-5-1 off the ball. It's a bit of a damning thing to say, but Will Asula looked like the best attacker when he came on, certainly the busiest. Johan Wisse had a really difficult time against his former club. He was obviously jeered as what a waste of money throughout the match. And yeah, very little impact again.
Yeah, I mean, I get where you come from. My response to the Will Asula thing would be busy to what extent, but to what degree anyway, in terms of what he actually materially brings. That's not trying to dig him out too much. It's just, I get this, and a lot of people have said it, but I also think that, yeah, Will Asula ran around a lot, but what did he actually achieve by doing that? I would argue not that much. He does have an involvement in the equaliser, or the penalty that leads to the equaliser, but I think all three strikers really struggled. Yeah, Wisse had that big chance first half. Voldemarder comes on as number 10. There are some nice moments, some nice passes from him, but it's still stylistically just looks... It just looks incongruous, really, with what Newcastle are trying to achieve. But what did you think of the change of system? Did you think Newcastle improved because of it, or do you think it was more of the same? What was your view on before they actually brought on Asula, when it was the 4-2-3-1?
Well, it felt like there was more urgency, which obviously felt necessary. There was certainly more pace. Yeah, and so I think there was a sort of uptick, perhaps, and, you know, obviously there was a penalty peel and a VAR check for, you know, a handball of Newcastle's own when Trippier crosses it, and I think it hit Rico Henry's arm. He looks like he's leaning towards the ball. That's not given. There's a chance again, another Trippier
big cross. Harvey Barnes chance.
Yeah, Harvey Barnes at the far post, and that goes wide. And so I do feel like there was some urgency, but it was sort of also a desperate urgency. Maybe that's, you know, maybe I'm looking at that from the perspective of how the game ended. You know, Newcastle got their way back into the game, and that should have been enough. You know, it should have been enough. but it wasn't. And they should have got out of Dodge with a draw and closed the game down. I mean, I say that they would probably have had to go and try to win it. But you know, you take a point. If you can't win, then you take a point. And Newcastle have done neither of those things.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bruno Guimarães' impact earlier. He has the assist for the first goal. I thought it was slightly odd. He'd put the corner in for the goal. He'd also done a couple of decent ones, which Kellard struggled with. Then Newcastle changed, and Tonali was taking corners from that side. Now I get the one for variety, but there's also the sort of cliched old person in me says, why don't you just keep putting the ball in the box?
For one of a better term. It was working. It was causing problems. It was working, so. That delivery was working well.
Yeah. But then it's Bruno who wins the penalty. It's fortuitous in one sense, but it's definitely he is fouled, but it's not given on the field. VAR intervene. Alan Smith on commentary for Sky Sports initially said there's not enough for a penalty in there, and you're looking at it and thinking, well, I mean, he does trip him and prevent him from actually getting towards the ball. Would he have got to the ball? It's almost impossible to know at that stage. But he is tripped in the box. VAR intervene. The referee goes across, and eventually, after several checks, the penalty is given. And then it weirdly, I mean, was there anything said in the press conference afterwards about why Bruno actually took the penalty? Because Voldemarda did seem to want the ball, and Voldemarda, you would have thought, would have been the on-field, with no Anthony Gordon, would have been the on-field penalty taker. Was there anything said about that?
No, funnily enough, it was very much bigger picture stuff about pressure and disappointment and, kind of how's mea culpa. It was sort of big. It was big stuff like that, rather than it kind of individual moments in the match. No, you're right. Waltemander did look disappointed or distressed or agitated, and it looked like Trippier was having to kind of calm him down. Bruno did his usual little run up, but he took the goal. He took the goal very well, and so at 2-2, you know, that should have been Newcastle in a position to, you know, to get something out of the game.
Yeah, but instead, the ball falls to Jensen, and it's a Botman tries to head the ball. Botman, I thought, was very good despite all of Newcastle's defensive struggles. I thought Botman was probably up there with Newcastle's best players. I thought he did battle well. I thought he actually kept Thiago relatively quiet in a weird sense. But he won the ball, headed it, but it could only head it as far as Jensen, who immediately looks up and sees that Trippier's upfield. Chow slightly out of position and sends Ouattara in behind Newcastle's defence. He hits the ball early, low, goes to Pope's legs. He can't keep it out, and Brentford retake the lead, go 3-2 up. And really, from the point of Newcastle's equaliser until the point of the end of the game, despite 9 minutes of injury time, they never actually looked like scoring. That would be my argument, is that it wasn't even before Brentford went ahead. But it's almost like, I don't know if that was it, the feeling in the ground that sucked the life out of them, because I don't remember a clear-cut chance that Newcastle had at that point.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, it was that feeling, it's not going to happen again. You know, that was the moment. That was the moment to capitalise on. You know, they got their way. They got their way back into a game that they were leading. That should have been, you know, the momentum should have been with there, but it was just, yeah, it just wasn't, and it didn't feel like it was going to happen from that point. Yeah, really disappointing. And then, you know, the noise at the final whistle tells its own story. You know, very difficult to take positives from this, and how certainly wasn't doing that, wasn't attempting to do that. And afterwards, I asked him about how much of a concern the form is. There is the context of the teams they've played recently, but yeah, how much of a concern this form is.
Yeah, we're in a negative run of momentum. There's no denying that. And I think that in a different day with momentum behind us, we'd have won today. And sometimes when you're in the feeling that we are now, you can lose from positions that you can't really work out in a game. So it is a momentum, it's a confidence, it's a mentality issue. I don't think it's an ability issue. And with that, of course, with the players you lose to injury, your psyche gets damaged slightly. So we have to look at ourselves and show real character, real strength, because that's the only way we need players to perform at their best levels.
And picking up on that, you're going to be at Spurs on Tuesday night. Spurs, who a lot of people call Dr. Spurs at the minute, the teams go there when they sort of need a bit of a boost. But Newcastle themselves, it's really crap away form against crap home form on things and pressure on both sides of it. Where does this defeat leave Newcastle? Given all those away games you mentioned earlier, what is the context? Where are Newcastle right now?
Well, in a real crisis of confidence about who they are. I mean, Howe was asked, is this a crisis? And he said, it's a very difficult moment for us. I mean, so he's not shying away from it. And certainly in, you know, the language he's used about having to find solutions, having to be honest, you know, again, it feels like a big moment. Of course, there is no time to sort of do anything practical about that, is there? I mean, there is no time to, you know, to give the players a couple of days off to stew or, I mean, not that they deserve time off, I don't mean that, but, you know, can't do that. You can't work on specific things on the training pitch. So it has to be about sort of mentality, attitude, finding something within themselves. They're in a really difficult spot. I mean, if you look at that Spurs game, it feel, you know, is it possible for two teams to lose the same game? Answers on a postcard, you know. But that's how it would seem to me. And you know, 12th on the table is not where Newcastle want to be. They do want to be active in as many competitions as possible at this stage of the season, and they are. They have been, but it just feels like it's all hanging by a thread at the minute. And you know, you and I wrote a piece in The Athletic at the back end of the week about how the club view Eddie Howe and the idea of longevity and the fact that they have an opportunity, the opportunity being stability, good working relationships with Ross Wilson and David Hopkinson, the CEO. But, you know, the big caveat to that, which we mentioned, is that there has to be, you know, some forward momentum. If they don't win a game between now and the end of the season, Eddie Howe won't be in charge. I mean, I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think there's a free pass for him. He has to show that he's getting a message across to the players. The players have to show that they're still listening to him. So, you know, there's big work to be done. It's a very rare feeling post takeover. Certainly the first boos that I can remember post takeover, but They've got to find some answers. They've got to find some solutions, and they've got to show that there's something, that there are foundations to be built on, because today wasn't good enough.
No, it wasn't, and I think we should probably sign off there. And I just want to apologise to everyone. I imagine Ollie will both be cursing and chuckling at the bloopers which he's had to remove from me from this. I apologise that I have had a couple of beers. It was that I was trying to help George out a little bit. Taylor unfortunately could not be on the podcast tonight and I was meant to be away, so I have watched it's a long while since I've watched a match in a pub, and although I do agree with you, George, that the pub is a great place, it wasn't a great place to watch Newcastle United tonight, I'll be honest with you. The first half, I couldn't even get on because the rugby was on. So, but eventually, I did get the second half on, having watched the first half on my phone. So,
it's not a sob story from your perspective. You've got the benefits of alcohol in your system. I need the benefits of that too. So, let's say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So that's another defeat for United and an all too familiar story after going ahead in the first half. We'll be back with another matchday show on Tuesday for Spurs. In the meantime, if you want some more Pod on the Tyne, please subscribe via podonthetyne.supportcast.fm and get in touch via podonthetyne@gmail.com. Thanks to George and Chris for their contributions yet again, and thanks to all of you for listening to this matchday episode. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, have a good weekend. Goodbye.
Brentford's equaliser came from a penalty. That moment did create a bit of a momentum shift at that stage, because Newcastle, although hadn't been playing particularly well, were obviously leading until that point, just before half time.
Well, they'd conceded to Brentford, of course, haven't they? How many pints have you had, Chris?
Christ. Sorry, there had been a goal
how
before.
How many
then.
Pints
yes,
have
I have
you had,
a few
Chris? Points. Tell me the truth.
I have had a few pints, but
a
equally,
few, okay.
It felt like Newcastle could... Yeah.
Yeah, so tell you what, let me describe
Let me restart that. I remember the equaliser. Rewind. Cut this, Ollie. Right, so... Moro Casino, America.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.